Father, we thank you today that you have made available and provided wisdom to every one of us. We thank you that we do not even have to have a higher level of education in order to heed your word and in order to follow in the way of wisdom. I pray for each and every one of us today, dear Lord, that we will recognize the difference between wisdom and folly, and also that we will recognize the difference between going our own way and going the way that you lead us. And I'm encouraged to hear from some of the young people today that they sense your leading, or that they are seeking your leading in certain decisions that lie ahead. May this be the order of our life, and may it begin early, that we may walk in your ways all the days of our life and come to the end, perhaps having made some mistakes, but having no regrets for having followed in your way and served you. Open our hearts today to your truth. Not just us here in this building today, but the people of our nation and of the world, that we may open our ears to hear you and gain a heart of wisdom. We ask these things in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Today's message is for all graduates, present, past, and future. It is also even for any who may not have graduated from, say, our schools of learning down here. It says in Proverbs 3, 13, and 14, blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. Proverbs 4, 7 says, wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. And so we want to talk a little bit this morning about the rewards of godly wisdom. There's never been a time when godly wisdom is more important than it is today, because I hear, at least, that we live in a complicated world and that we live in a dangerous world. And it is precisely the time when many are disregarding the most basic tenets of godly wisdom, have turned aside from the Word of God. And mankind, really in general, is not looking to the Word of God for the direction for their lives. And there are many within the household of faith who would give more credence to what some writer or other writer from secular fields or something has to say than what the Word of God would say. And I'm here to tell you today that the principles of God's Word are for every day and every age, and that the same things that worked, say, centuries ago, are still the same things that will work today. I confess that those who follow godly knowledge and godly wisdom are going to be in the minority. If you pursue this route, you will probably be misunderstood by many and rejected by some. But let me tell you that these are choices that have to be made, and we're not the first ones to have to make them. The three Hebrew children and Daniel, in the Babylonian culture, they had to make choices. And Joseph in his situation had to make choices. And so, you know that almost every year when we come to this time, I bring a message on a topic like this. But it's because I feel so strongly about it. I shared with you last week how I was able, earlier this year, to go back to a place I had not been in 40 years. And we're able to see the playing out of lives. Those who decided for the Lord early, and those who followed Him and are today in His service and serving Him and are joyful, and those who said, I don't think I'm quite ready for this. There are things I want to do. I want to follow my way. And then the things that... Do bad things happen to godly people? Absolutely. And we are all touched by sin, and none of us can escape it. In all of our lives and in all of our families, we are touched by sin in some way. But there are two ways to live our lives. One way is to kind of like we were talking in our Sunday school class this morning. Lord, I'm getting ready to do this. Please bless it. Or, Lord, would you lead me and guide me at every juncture in my life? And that is my heart's prayer today. If somebody said, Pastor Eby, what is your number one heart's prayer for any of the young people in your church? Well, first, that they would know Jesus as Savior. But right behind that one is that they would learn to seek and trust the Lord early for all parts of life, seek His guidance, follow His guidance, and have His guidance throughout their life. It doesn't mean life will always be easy, that there won't be bumps in the road, or there'll be moments when you don't know what to do. But keep your focus on the Lord, and He will lead you. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, it says in Proverbs 1:7. And then in 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, that means every part of life, acknowledge Him, put Him first, keep Him in front, and He will make your path straight. And those promises still hold. I don't care if we are in the 21st century. I don't care if we think we do know more than the generations that have gone before us. I don't care if many feel that we need to disregard all the ways of the past. I'm telling you, God's principles do not change. Can I hear an amen? His principles do not change. So, we have a few observations on this issue of wisdom. And for more on this, just read the first 10 chapters of the book of Proverbs. Basic observations. Number one, godly wisdom is only available from the Lord. There are many kinds of wisdom in the world, but godly wisdom is only available from the Lord. There are many kinds of know-how in the world, but godly wisdom is only available from the Lord. You will not find it in your history book. You will not find it in your psychiatry book, your psychology book, or any of those things. Modern psychology, a lot of it is based on mistaken premises from the get-go. And we cannot trust those things. Godly, they do not contain godly wisdom. They may contain some elements of truth, but they do not contain godly wisdom. If you want godly wisdom, you must go to the Lord for it, because He is the only one that has it. So that's the first thing that we need to settle early on. Secondly, godly wisdom is always based on God's truth. Some of us are involved on Sunday nights right now in something called the Truth Project. And it's really just about the fact that God has spoken in every area of life, and that as believers, His truth should be our point of reference instead of anything from the world. God has spoken in the area of economics. He has spoken in the area of science. He has spoken in the area of family. He has spoken in the area of politics. He has spoken in every area of life. And then godly wisdom will come from knowing God's truth. And of course we know there's only one source, written source, and that is His Word. Thirdly, godly wisdom is readily available to all, but many disregard it. That's what we just read in our reading. Wisdom, God's wisdom, it's right out there. It isn't that it isn't available. It is that we are so busy with life. Wisdom is standing on the busy street corner, it says, saying, "Hey, hey, hey, hey!" And everybody's just rushing right by. How many have seen the footage of the people in New York City when they're in those sidewalks? And everybody's just... That's more or less how we're all living our lives. And can't even get our attention. We won't even look that... Oh, okay. Let me get back to my TV show. Let me get back to my video game. Let me get back to whatever I'm doing. It's available. It's right there. And the Lord wants us to have it. But in this day and age, very few seek it. Number four, godly wisdom is unpopular in modern culture because it gets in the way of personal pursuits, prevailing norms, and, quote-unquote, having a good time. Now, that doesn't mean that people that serve the Lord are, you know, never have fun, never laugh, don't have a sense of humor, can't have a good time, you know, the right way. But that's not what the world means. I used to work out in that world out there, and 3/4 of the dealership would say, yeah, Friday night, let's go get smashed. But godly wisdom gets in the way of, you know, our own little, what we want. Why is that? Well, it's because we have something the Bible calls sinful desires. None of you ever have those, do you? Believers never have any of those, do they? And certainly don't act on them. So it's not popular. It's not popular. Very few will pursue godly wisdom because it just gets in the way of too many things. What will my friends think? Number five, seeking wisdom is a choice. Even not choosing is a choice. But seeking wisdom is a choice, and it needs to be a very clear-cut choice. Those decisions that Daniel and his three friends made in Babylon that time, those were very, very, they took their stand early. They said, look, whatever, you know, we're willing to die, we're willing, whatever, but we're not going to eat the king's meat, we're not going to drink his wine, we're not going to compromise our faith, and we're not going to compromise our principles. We are going to stand where we are. Seeking wisdom is a choice. Number six, those who pursue wisdom, that is godly wisdom, walk a lonely road. One of the number one things I hear about young people that go to college and that actually room and board at college is how hard it is to find any other real Christian that they can associate with or that can encourage them. Some find it and are blessed. But that proves it right there. It is very, very hard. And if you're pursuing godly wisdom for your life and God's direction and you want to make all the right choices early, don't expect a whole lot of company because that's just not the world that we live in today. So we just have to make our choice and say, Lord, I know this is the right thing to do. And I know that in time you'll send me the right friends. I know that in time you'll send me the right people. Right now, it may be pretty lonely, but that is a price that I am willing to pay in order to be faithful to you. It doesn't mean we totally cut ourselves off from people that are unbelievers. That's not what I'm talking about. We need to be there and let, but to seek somebody that'll seek the Lord with us, you're going to have to look for those people. Because I tell you what, there aren't a whole lot. Seven, godly wisdom must be pursued early and will be of little help when calamity strikes. Godly wisdom is a preventative, not a remedy. Now, what I'm talking about is the body of truth by which we order our lives on a day-to-day basis. You can't acquire that overnight. You can't acquire that by attending 10 sessions of the Truth Project or 52 weeks of Sunday school. It's the whole body of truth that guides our life of accumulated knowledge, and we begin to build it early and should continue to be building it throughout life. And if that foundation is already in place, then when calamity strikes and different things come, we will already have that foundation to be there and to guide us and sustain us. But it's too late at that point. It's kind of like having the house three quarters done and then say, oh, let me rush back real quick and stick in a foundation real quick before the flood washes my house away. Doesn't work that way. So I'm telling you as young people, be building this foundation of God's truth in your life and just make it a day-to-day thing and be laying that foundation now, and it'll be there for you when you need it. But if you don't do it now, you can seek the Lord later, and He's gracious and He's merciful, and He'll take you from there. But it's not going to undo the damage that has been done. Will not. Number 8. The pursuit of wisdom is a lifelong undertaking. A sporadic interest in wisdom will yield little benefit. This is for the long haul. Just curious, how many in this building have served the Lord for 40 years or more? See, we have some hands. How many have served the Lord 30 years or more? So, we've got quite a few. But, are you at the point now where you don't need to learn anything else about the Lord? See, acquiring His wisdom is a never-ending process. It's a never-ending pursuit throughout life. We can never say, okay, I've got my degree in godly wisdom. No, no, no. We need it every single day. All right, number 9. The rewards of following and practicing godly wisdom are beyond calculation. Spend a little time in the first 4 chapters of Proverbs. Read what it says about wisdom. Read about its value. Read about the fact that it's more important than anything else. It's kind of like reading. If you can read, then you can go on and learn almost any other subject that you're interested in. But if you can't, you can't even, you know, You can't even go any further than that. The rewards of following and practicing godly wisdom are beyond calculation because they open up so many, it opens up so many other doors. And it is active in so many other dimensions that we can't see right now today or that we can't even see with our natural eyes. And for eternity, only in eternity will we reap the full benefits of having pursued godly wisdom. We will reap them right here, right now, because these principles work. But I'm just saying, they go beyond that. They are transcendent. Here's just a handful of things, and again, based on Proverbs, that wisdom or godly wisdom will do for any of us. Number 1. It will cause us to keep God as our continual point of reference in all of life. So when we're faced with a choice or a decision, we're going to say, okay, Lord, what do you think about this? Daryl, I hope you don't mind me quoting you again, brother, but it's just too good to pass up. Daryl was in my Sunday school class. He said, when I do premarital counseling and I get that couple in front of me, I say to them, at what point did you seek the Lord? Something like that, right? At what point did you seek the Lord as to whether this relationship is of Him? How did you word that, Daryl? At what point did you seek the Lord and get His approval for this relationship? And he said he usually kind of gets up. See? Haven't even asked the Lord. So, we've got to keep God as our continual point of reference. Yes, in relationships. Maybe primarily in relationships. Yes, in jobs. Yes, in what we do with our money. Yes, in all of it. And if we're not doing that, we're violating the very first principle of pursuing godly wisdom. We cannot have it unless the Lord is our continual point of reference in everything. Read it. That's what Proverbs is all about. Number two, in all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. Number two, it will cause us to look to God for truth instead of man and philosophy. Believe me, they don't have the answers. They have a bunch of stuff that may sound good on the surface, or they have a bunch of stuff that they may think can crush Christianity. Cannot do it. But seeking godly wisdom will cause us to look to God for truth. Number three, it will cause us to look to God's Word for instruction and direction. When we want to know more about a topic or we want to make a decision, it'll cause us to go to His Word first. Number four, godly wisdom will keep us from blindly following the crowd. How many have ever heard the term peer pressure? Never been worse. Never been worse. Bennett, as director of CE, reads a lot of books on a lot of topics and a lot of them about youth. And all these people that go out and do surveys, they say, you know, 40, 50 years ago, you ask a kid, who's the most influential person in your life? They'd say mom and dad. Did you know they don't say that anymore? They say, my peers. Then, maybe mom and dad. Or my peers and my teachers at school, and then maybe mom and dad. Whatever. Following the crowd. Let me tell you something. Following the crowd, it's always been a problem. Always been a problem. Some of you are my age and older, you know it's always been a problem. But it's worse now. It's worse now. And if kids don't follow the crowd, the peer pressure is so strong. Excuse me. Facebook and stuff like that adds to it. But it gets to the point where the pressure's so great. A kid will take their life rather than, you know, buck the crowd, or they'll do anything the crowd wants to do just so they'll be what? Accepted. Pursuing godly wisdom. Teach your child as best God enables you godly wisdom. That is the one thing that will keep a person from blindly following the crowd. Because let me tell you something, and you already know this if you're a parent. If they're going to do it, they're going to do it. Number five, enable us to avoid harmful associations and partnerships and stay out of misguided relationships. That's a big one. That is one of the hardest things that I could say to anybody, or even myself, or any of us. That is one of the biggest challenges any of us ever face in life, and only God's Word and truth is equal to the task. If we follow it. That's a big one. Woo! How many people's lives have been, not destroyed, but in terms of what they had first envisioned for their lives, ruined by misguided relationships? Godly wisdom will keep us from that. Number six, it will enable us, and this is big, to become independent thinkers. We don't have a lot of independent thinkers anymore. Oh, I must be a freak or something because I don't think like the rest of them. God wants you to be an independent thinker. People that followed the Lord have always been independent thinkers. Let me ask you something. Suppose Noah hadn't been an independent thinker. 7. Godly wisdom will enable us to see, think, and plan long term instead of just today. And come on, a lot of people today are just living for today. They're like, why should I worry? I mean, the world may not even be here, you know. Why should I worry about anything down the road? And then there are those who say, well, because I'm already planning for my retirement and I'm already putting money aside, I'm thinking long term. Oh, no, you're not. You're thinking very, very short term from a scriptural perspective. Hello? There's something after this life, and it's called eternity. Preachers do enough funerals. Preachers know that life doesn't last forever. And thinking about retirement is not thinking long term. Do you hear me? What impact will this have for the Lord Jesus Christ? What impact will this have for the kingdom of God? What impact, whether I speak to that person today or not, in obedience to the Holy Spirit about the things of God? What are the eternal implications of my walking away versus taking a few minutes to share with them? And we could go on and on and on. But godly wisdom, we're not just thinking within this box of this life. We're thinking about God's entire plan. Number 8, enable us to make good choices. If you choose to put wise choices, fine. A good choice is a wise choice as God would see it. Number 9, keep us out of trouble. Oh, that's a good one, huh? And number 10, in keeping with what Bennett shared with the children, lead to ultimate success. You've probably all heard stories of, you know, somebody that in this life, they didn't have anything, weren't well known, went through a lot of hardship. But let me tell you something. If they spend eternity in heaven, and if during that time they were laying up for themselves treasures in heaven, because Jesus said, don't lay up for yourselves treasures here on earth, where moth and rust corrupt and thieves break through and steal, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, that was a person that was ultimately successful. And the rich man that had everything, and at the moment of his death went straight to hell, let me ask you, was he a success? He may have been in this life, but not ultimately. So my friends, young people, and all of us, let's make the pursuit of godly wisdom our main goal. After having the salvation of our soul, the pursuit of godly wisdom, because without it, we will not make the right choices, and we will regret it later. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you today. We thank you for what you've put in your word. You've given us everything we need to know for salvation and for the things that pertain to eternal life. I remember Paul saying to Timothy, now you stick with the stuff you were taught, son, and you know who you learned this stuff from. And stay in those scriptures because they're able to make you wise unto salvation. Lord, we have so many people that are so wise about business and wise about this and wise about that. They write books because they're experts about this and about that, but they don't have any godly wisdom. Lord, I pray, cause us to make godly wisdom our main pursuit. We love you, Lord. At least I hope we do. Lord, we love you. May the expression of that love be that we seek you above all things. We value you above all things. We're willing to go through some short-term loss in order to have some long-term gain. And we believe your word, and we believe in the rewards of righteousness. Not our own, but that which you have conferred on us and that you are leading us in day by day by your Spirit. Give us a desire for your Spirit. Give us a desire for your wisdom. Give us a desire for your truth. For they truly are our life. Move on our hearts today and cause us to take the appropriate actions in response to the things we have heard. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.